of putting a church in Grand Rapids. If you think about Michigan, Grand Rapids is, to my knowledge, the second largest city in the state of Michigan. So to put a local church in this area made sense to do that from that vantage point. And if you think about who's here right now even, we have drawn people in from all over. There are people here that are from all over the area, from all different parts. Have we corrected it? Guys, are we good now? All right, so nobody heard. You guys heard what I said, right? I'm not starting over. So for the benefit of those of you that are hearing this now, we are having our annual meeting, and I'm going over information here that you need, that those of you that are part of our remote audience, we feel you need to know. And I'm not going through the rest of it because I've already said it. We're in the middle of talking about our ministry priorities. Our first ministry priority is edification. Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Come with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. The job, folks, of a local church is to edify the body of Christ. It is to build and edify the body of Christ in sound doctrine. That is our job. That is my role as a pastor. I dedicate myself to laboring in word and doctrine for the benefit of the edification of the saints, for the building up of the saints in sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, for I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Come to chapter 3. Come over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." We talked about that issue of maturity and perfection last Sunday in the message when we were talking about Epaphras always laboring fervently in prayer for the Colossians, right? The job of the local church is to edify the body of Christ in sound doctrine. And notice there, all ages. We tried to provide here classes for our very youngest all the way up to all you old timers that are in here right now, okay, for the edification. The other thing, secondly, the second priority is the issue of being the body or one anothering. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look with me at verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. This isn't a passage where Paul's describing how the body of Christ is set up and how it works and how God has set the members in the body as it hath pleased him. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. What we did yesterday for Marissa and in the memorial for Josh is out of this principle. Okay? There was a member of the body of Christ that was suffering, that was hurting, that had tragic circumstances, etc., and we reached out and offered the assembly as a place for them to have a service to commemorate and to remember and to memorialize Josh, okay? So we think about our priorities. We have edification. Then we have the issue of one anothering, being the body, bodybuilding, as I talked about in that one series. Thirdly, we have the issue of training faithful men. Come back to 2 Timothy and look with me at chapter 2. So everything that we do as a church, we try to judge against these priorities. We try to judge against the way Paul did his ministry. I got interrupted there, but I was explaining to you how Paul would target metropolitan areas. And then what he would do is he would, from those metropolitan areas where he had established local churches, is he would reach out into the surrounding areas and then establish more churches, which would then repeat the cycle of evangelism and getting people saved. And then edification, establishing them in sound doctrine. And then identifying elders and men to enlist into the leadership of that local church that could then do the same thing. And so we've talked about that. Third priority is the issue of training faithful men. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So when we think about the teaching opportunities in the summer and other times, those things are designed on purpose to help build teaching capacity within other men in the assembly so that we can continue the work of the ministry. I don't want to be morbid, but what happens if something happens to me? The church ought not stop and the church ought not cease to exist if something were to happen to me. We ought to be trying to establish capacity in others to be able to step to the fore and continue to teach the saints and continue the work even if something were to happen to me. And that brings us to our next priority, which is to enlist faithful men, to identify men who are established in the faith to aid in the edification, encouragement, and the establishment of other saints. And that is the issue of folks serving in the church in the capacities of elders and deacons. We'll talk more about that later on. And then last on the list, certainly not least, is the issue of evangelism. And that properly edified and mature saints will have a heart for evangelism and seeing lost souls get saved. And this is what Paul's talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, when he talks about doing the work of an evangelist. I want to stop there and say something about evangelism. If you're not aware of it, yesterday there were 112 people in this building for the memorial service. I am confident that those 112 people heard a crystal clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now I have my phone up here because I want to share some further data with you. So, in addition to the 112 people that were physically in the building, an additional 148 watched it live. An additional 148 people watched it live while it was happening. On top of that, another 104 watched the recording. So that brings the total there to 252 plus the 112 that were here in person. Folks, by opening up the building, we had a massive evangelistic opportunity to share the gospel to well over 400 people. Okay? We need to be judging. So when we decide to host that here for somebody who had not been currently attending, that decision, if you look at the last point on the slide, is made out of a prioritization of these five things. Okay? And I'm telling you right now, I want to comment just a little further on evangelism before I move on. We are living in a time and in an era that is hostile to the gospel. It used to be, 22 years ago when I first started preaching, that I would go to a funeral and people would bring their Bibles to the funeral. And you could have people turn in their Bible to the scripture references that you were sharing. Folks, I'm just telling you, it's not that way anymore. We are living in a really, in a post-Reformation society where the residual effect of the Protestant Reformation and the scriptures on the culture is eroding before our eyes. Now, on the one hand, that's a scary thought, but on the other hand, it is an absolute great opportunity to share the gospel. Now, I'm very serious in this. When I was standing here yesterday looking out at the audience, it was very clear that there was a varied reaction. And there were some people, I believe, that the truth of the gospel shot right to their heart and they were listening and they were dialed in and they were locked into what I was saying. And then there were other people that were squirming in that seat, something fierce, man. And they wanted to be anywhere else but in here listening to what I was saying. But see, that's the power. The power of God unto salvation is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the preaching of the cross, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation is in the preaching of the cross. And this church will always stand for that message. And so, as we think about our priorities, edification, one anothering, training faithful men, enlisting men into assisting in the work of the ministry and evangelism, everything we're attempting to do as a church is we're trying to make those decisions out of those priorities. So let's reflect then on last year. The year that was, reflecting on 2021, which was year 14 of the assembly. So if you recall, last year at this time, I said that our main goal next year needed to be our main objective was going to be a return to normalcy, whatever that is anymore, but a return to normalcy. And so what we did is we had our Easter morning pancake breakfast with the men cooking. We resumed our in-person Bible conferences. We had a Christmas fellowship, and we tried to bring back all of the things that we were doing as a church before the COVID shutdowns and so forth happened in 2020. So that was one of our major things, was a return to normalcy. Okay. And many people have come back to church. Others, I don't know that they will ever come back. And technology is sort of that way, right? It's a catch-22. Because what we've done is we've provided people easy access through live streaming. And not only that, but we're expanding the places that we're putting the live stream. And so there's a tendency to say, oh, well, you know, I don't really need to go because I can catch it here, or I can listen to it on Thursday, or I can, you know, whatever, right? And so many folks have come back. Some have not. But I do believe that in 2021, we were able to, for the most part, reestablish a footing and a return to normalcy. Some other things that happened last year is that Mark and Will stepped up to help me with hosting the service. Charity became our children's church superintendent. And I want to say, I appreciate so very much what Charity is doing, because I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about it. I know things are being done. I know things are being managed. And it's being done way better than it probably has ever been done since the church was established. And so I appreciate what she's doing and in her service there to the ministry, okay? That was something that we accomplished or added this past year. AJ stepped up to help in the sound booth as another helper there. So give yourself a hand, AJ. so we appreciate that. Some other things. Blake and Amy stepped up to take over the planning of the teen events. Some capital improvements were made to the building. I'm not going to say anything about the details there. I'll leave that to Daryl. Okay? You are aware of the fact that we had major struggles with sound. All right? Like major struggles. Daryl is four shades grayer, as is Mark, as is Dave, than they were at last time this year. Okay? And we do think that we figured that out. We think that a neighbor is pumping a massive amount of radio frequency from a ham radio tower about 50 yards from here. And that it was flooding out RRF talking or signals in the building. So we have been experimenting now. I think this is our fourth week with an internet-based system. And if you've noticed, we have not had nearly the kind of problems that we were having. But we had major struggles with sound. As I alluded to a minute ago, we expanded our live streaming capability by switching to Boxcast. Boxcast allows us now to stream to YouTube, Facebook, and directly to the church's webpage. By the way, this data that I shared with you a minute ago about the service yesterday, all of these views, all 252 of them, were people that viewed it off of the church's webpage. Which means they were exposed to everything else that is on the church's webpage. So we really have some advancements in technology that I believe are going to help the ministry in these ways. Okay? I did publish one book in 2021, The Preservation of God's Word, a close look at Psalm 12, 6, and 7. The other thing we did is we started a Rumble channel. On Rumble, as an alternative to Facebook, there are 172 subscribers to us on Rumble. And that's just there. That is mostly as a placeholder if we get canceled or something like that from YouTube. But we did that. I started rebroadcasting the Grace History Project on YouTube. One of the things we started doing in our board meetings is tracking our YouTube subscribers. And I can say to you that since I started rebroadcasting the Grace History Project, our YouTube subscribers have climbed by 350 in 2.5 months. So we're adding new life now to material I taught a decade ago by rebroadcasting it to and making a whole another audience of people aware of its existence. We mentioned the growth of the YouTube ministry. We can mention the messages that I'm doing from home midweek. I don't know if I have it on here or not. Yes, I do. Becky and I have started a podcast. Have any of you listened to it? No one's listening. Uh-oh. One person. We started a podcast that's also available. I introduced to you guys last year that something we just started this year, which is the Bible Reading Challenge. I hope that's going well. And we continued and resumed our Transform Life meetings using the book Lifetime Guarantee as a format for discussion of some of those issues. And then we also this summer did our mentor teaching mentorship program with some of the men teaching the adult Sunday school hour. Now, I probably have forgotten things. I tried to think of everything that I could think of. But as you can see, a lot has happened in a year. And the ministry continues to go. It continues to perpetuate itself. And we are getting and growing our reach and those who are getting the information and the material that we are presenting. So there's a lot to be thankful for here, folks. There's a lot to rejoice in for what has happened in the last year. And so what I would like to do now is ask Daryl, the treasurer, to come forward. And he is going to go through the financial report with you. And then when Daryl is done, I'm going to come back and talk to you about a few things to be thinking about for this year, 2022. So, Daryl, if you can make your way up. And do you need help passing things out? Okay. So I'm turning him on and muting myself.
Good morning, everyone. We'll give the guys here a few seconds just to pass out a copy of the financial report to everybody. While they're doing that, I just wanted to say I'm like really glad that it's sunny outside today, that I could do without the single-digit temperatures. It's just like way too cold for me. But we can rejoice that it is a nice, beautiful, bright, sunny day out there for us. So as I go through this financial report, as I do typically, for the sake of time, we're just going to hold any questions until after the meeting, and I'd be more than willing and happy to discuss any questions, comments, or concerns you may have after. We're trying to condense a whole year's worth of financial data into a concise report here, so we'll just go through the report, and I can answer any questions afterwards. So you can see this is the fiscal year 2021 report. It's January 1st through December 31st. If you go to the next page, a look back. So this was kind of just my summary of some of the big key financial things that happened this year. 2021 was a very busy year. We undertook a lot of projects and got those things done. And the first thing there is we held our annual Bible conference in person. As Brian mentioned, that was a big part of returning to normalcy for us. And then many major projects were accomplished during the year that provided a much-needed refresh to our building and grounds. These projects included contracting with Evergreen Lawn Care to provide regular lawn mowing, fertilizing, and irrigation system maintenance. So Evergreen now takes care of our entire lawn maintenance all the way through to the irrigation system. We also contracted with Evergreen to replace all of the landscaping around the front of the church building and at the sign along Lake Michigan Drive. So that was nice to have all that landscaping redone, and now it's being fully taken care of, and Evergreen will also take care of the bed maintenance throughout the growing season. So we shouldn't have any issues with weeds and that kind of stuff. Then the whole south wing of the building was completely repainted, all of the classrooms, the hallway, the bathroom, everything down there was fully repainted. We got a new color laser jet printer and toner for use specifically for the Sunday school programs, but I also use it to make these copies, so we have nice color copies for our reports. And then later on in the year, we contracted with A1 Asphalt for a complete removal of the parking lot and replacing it with a brand new parking lot. And then a gate was also installed, preventing unauthorized access to the south parking lot. We didn't really know, like, how often cars were going back there, and so we put the security camera systems in with a trigger, and there were cars going back there nearly every day, and just we decided to put a gate right here so that people couldn't go behind the building and be completely blocked from Lake Michigan Drive, so that's just kind of a security feature that we added. And then finally, we contracted with Century Flooring to replace the carpeting in the sanctuary, the fellowship hall, the west entrance, and the south hallway. So that's all the new carpeting you see in here, out in the fellowship hall, and in the hallways. So if you'll turn to the next page, we're going to review the balance sheet, the income and expense report, and the brokerage account. So the next sheet is the balance sheet. This is just sort of a summary at the end of the year. You can see our LMCU checking account was just shy of $34,000. That was after paying for all of those projects. So we do have a good balance going into this coming year. And then we do have the emergency fund, a printing fund. And then our total current assets are at $38,426.31. So that's liquid assets, means it's basically money we could go get our hands on right away if we needed to. And then the only liabilities we have as a church assembly are the revolving credit cards that we use to purchase things for the church. And at the end of the year, that balance was just shy of $600. So if you'll turn over to the next page, this will be the start of the income and the expense report. So the first item that's denoted there is the total offerings from the saints at $68,173. And those are funds donated from regular attendees of our assembly. So, and it's also people that would normally attend here if they could, but have chosen for other reasons to stay away, whether it be COVID, health reasons, stuff like that. But if we consider a person part of this local assembly, that's where their funds are accounted for in the accounting software. The next item you'll see there is miscellaneous checks. And obviously that's an enormous amount of money. That's just shy of $119,000. If you remember this past late spring or late summer, early fall, we received a financial gift from a viewer who expressed that they desired that we use those funds to take care of any issues that we had around our buildings and grounds, to really get everything sort of squared away and taken care of. And those funds were primarily used for the parking lot, which was getting to the point that we needed to do something about it, and to replace the carpeting, which also was past its service life and needed to be replaced. So The remaining balance there in the miscellaneous checks was funds that were sent to the church by people who view the ministry online, who don't regularly attend here. And that is also true of the PayPal deposits. So the $13,240 there, those are all PayPal donations from people who don't have the capability to come to this building on a regular basis and hear the message that Brian preaches. So our total income for the whole year was, from all sources, was $204,481.81. So moving on to the expenses, just try to highlight some of the things here for clarity and so that everyone has a sense of where the funds were spent. We did have our Bible conference in person, and that came in just under $4,205. The carpeting project, you can see there, was $32,340. The landscaping, and this was the replacement, so for them to come in and tear out all of the old landscaping, plant all of the new plants that were purchased, rebark, restone, take care of all of that was just under $6,500. The parking lot project came in just under $76,600. And parking lot project, that includes not only the work that the parking lot required to be replaced, but in doing so, there was damage to the sprinkler system, there was damage to the lawn. All of that had to be taken care of after the fact, and the cost for the gate is also included in that project. And then the painting project for the south hallway, that came in just under at $2,800. And then just a note on the security camera system, that was actually a 2020 project, but we didn't receive the invoice until early January of 21. So that $5,441 was paid early this early in 21, but it was actually a 2020 project. And then the lawn care, you can see there is just shy of $3,700, and that's for the full lawn care, the irrigation maintenance, all of that, the fertilizing. We just used to have the lawn cut and trimmed. Nobody fertilized it, and nobody did any weed care, but now we have full lawn care from Evergreen. So if you'll flip over to the next page, just a few more expenses to note here. As Brian mentioned, my wife Charity has become the Children's Sunday School superintendent. In years past, since I've been the treasurer, we've spent hardly any money on the Children's Sunday School at all. So this past year was a little bit different. We spent about $1,200. And as Brian said, I hope everyone can agree, it's good to see all the activity that's going on down there, all the materials and stuff that are being bought for the children's classrooms. And then we also bought the laser jet printer at just over $1,000. The miscellaneous expenses, that includes the accounting software that we use to do all of this accounting and make the reports, and then it also includes the Dropbox software, our Microsoft Office licenses, all of that kind of normal stuff, you know, that we just need to function as a church assembly. And then for postage expenses, more than half of that $420 just includes the P.O. Box renewal. So we have the P.O. Box in Grand Rapids here that we get our mail at, so that's where most of those funds are. So dropping down to the church support under the pulpit expenses, so this is really Pastor Brian's salary. So his salary or housing allowance for 21 was $26,780. As we do as a board, at the end of every year, we look at that salary amount, and then we decide if we're going to make any adjustments to that. And this year for 2022, we've decided to increase that to $32,120. And really that's, as a board, we continually talk about how we can get Brian moved into a full-time pastorship at some point in the future. So part of that is to continually work on increasing that salary to where we feel comfortable. We can obviously pay it as a church assembly and get to the point where, you know, Brian feels comfortable with it, that we can continue having these talks. So it's just part of that, you know, and then also to acknowledge and recognize all of the hard work that Brian does put in through the course of the year, the midweek messages, everything that goes on there. And then under pulpit supply, we did have this past year a few extra fill-ins. Two of those were due to when Pastor and his family came down with COVID. So obviously they needed to quarantine and stay away. And thanks to Brother Ernie and Brother Bud for filling in for those two Sundays for us. And if you go to the last page under the utilities, just a reminder there of the EPS monitoring. So that's basically our security system. We have motion detectors and stuff like that. I don't know about you. I feel a great sense of peace just knowing that the building is protected. If the alarm is on, you're not going to move around very much in this building without EPS being notified. and the police being dispatched to the building. So I think that's a great improvement that we've made. And then under audiovisual upgrades project, again, that was kind of a 2020 project. The monitors, all of the work we had done in 2020, some of those invoices didn't come due until January of this year. So that was the remaining balance of those funds. And then, as Brian mentioned, we've upgraded from Caster to Boxcast for our internet live streaming. So that's most of that cost is there. And it was a one time we paid for the whole year at one shot rather than doing monthly invoices. So that's where most of those funds went to. So you can see there the total expenses for the whole year came to $196,013.60. If you flip over to the next page, this is just an end-of-year statement for our Merrill Lynch brokerage account, and the balance there at the end of the year was sitting at $26,158. And this is just sort of a fund that we're just hanging on to. It's invested, but very low risk. So the benchmark when we started this account was $23,000. So over the couple of years that we've had it, it's gone up to $26,000. And if you flip over to the next page, this is just sort of a look forward. So as Brian mentioned, you know, we sit down and kind of look at the next year, things that we know that we have to deal with. And the very first one, obviously, that came to my mind, and probably as Brian mentioned, is the audio issues. So it's been an immense struggle over the last year trying to deal with these audio issues. We worked with one vendor. We ended up firing that vendor because they basically wouldn't help us anymore. So we selected a new vendor, and we finally are getting traction and figuring out what's going on here. We're very close to resolving these audio issues. Essentially, at this point, we're just waiting for the quote to buy the gear that they've loaned us so that we can get our own gear put in and installed, give them back their loaner gear, and do all the fine-tuning that we need to do. So once we have that issue well in hand and we know everything's working, we plan to enlist the same vendor, CTI, to go through our entire video system to enhance it as much as possible to address in-house monitor lag. So when the guys in the back switch monitors and it kind of goes black for a second or one switches before the other, we're going to see if we can get that all cleaned up to where it looks really good and professional, and then also increase the streaming video quality. And then the next thing, you know, obviously with all the recent upgrades and updates to our buildings and grounds, we as a board plan to ensure that we continue to take care of and maintain the building and the grounds to our best, to the best of our ability. So obviously having this building without any mortgage, no debt at all, you know, it's in our best interest to take care of everything and stay on top of any issues and maintain the building the best that we can. And then we could possibly be looking too at some security system updates. So when we did put the security systems in, we didn't have the gate out here, which now kind of interferes a little bit with people coming in to turn the alarms off, because the only door that you can do that on is the west door. So we might be looking at a way to make that a little bit more convenient. And then when we put in the security cameras, we put in basically just the minimum we thought we needed to do. So there's still a lot of areas that could potentially benefit from having the security camera coverage. So we might be looking at anything that we might want to add there as well. And then obviously any ideas, the board is always open. I'm always open to hear any ideas or suggestions on what you would like to see happening at the church and with the finances. And then if you flip over to the last page, this is sort of the non-avoidable expense budget that we try to put together for each year. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you, like, everybody's seen what's going on with inflation, cost increasing. And to be honest with you, I went through all of these and increased the amount just based on that. Things cost more, food costs more, utilities cost more. If we need service work, that costs more. So there's been a slight adjustment to all of those. Obviously, we've made an adjustment to the pastor's expenses for his housing allowance slash salary to $31,200. And then down at the bottom, there's just the additional forward-looking items. So new wireless microphone system. You know, we don't know how much that's going to cost yet. We're still waiting for the quotes, like I said, but we've earmarked some money for that. And then also for the long-term building maintenance fund. So all of that to say, this past year, our weekly income goal was $1,500 a week. And if you look in the very bottom right-hand corner, the income goal for 2022 is $1,800 a week. So that's gone up $300 a week to try to address, the increases in inflation and to continue to be able to do some of the projects that we're looking forward to in 2022. So in closing, I want to thank everyone for your continued generous support and read 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Cyril. Everybody should really, if you're not aware of it, you should really thank Daryl for his faithfulness. Daryl's a great saint. He's faithful in what he's doing. He's doing an excellent, meticulous job, as you can see, with keeping track of the church's finances and staying on top of things and being here when things need to be done, et cetera. And I have the utmost respect and appreciation for Daryl, and I hope that you, the rest of you, can express that to him as well at some point, because he's really keeping a lot of the things afloat, so I don't have to worry about them. I want to thank everybody for everything that they do so that I can focus mainly on, number one, the preaching of the Word of God and the ministry and the labor and the Word and doctrine here, and not have to worry about some of those things. So we don't want to just delay this meeting any longer than it has to be, but we do want to spend a little bit of time here at the end kind of putting some things in front of you to think about for next year. So before I go any further, are we still on audio online and all that sort of thing? Okay. So let's think about what some ministry needs might be for this year, 2022. Daryl has just laid out, I've reviewed what happened last year. Daryl has reviewed and given you some things to think about the financial situation moving forward, some things I want you to think about ministry-wise. And this is not yelling at you. This is just an ask. But if we could make an effort to be on time for church, that would be great, so that we're all here and we minimize distractions and those sorts of things. That's not picking on anybody. That's just a request. Things run smoother when folks are where they need to be at the time they need to be there. So just please keep that in mind. Another thing, although I'm not aware of any specific needs right now, we always need help in our children's ministries. If there is a specific need, I'm not aware of what it would be, but I do know that we, things change for folks during a year, and just keep in mind how you might be able to help out with that. As Daryl alluded to, we are continuing to investigate the financial feasibility of having a full-time pastor. This is not going to be a situation where we're able to just, is there a problem? Are we recording it? All right. So now we're back live? I'm telling you, it's the prince, the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's not us, by the way. That's the unsaved. But anyway, we're continuing to investigate the feasibility of me being able to come on to a full-time situation. All right? That's not something that we're going to be able to just go and flip a switch and make it happen. We're going to have to really think through that. There's going to be some meetings that are had when my school year is over, myself and the other board members are going to meet with a representative of the Office of Retirement to discuss where I'm actually at in my secular job with respect to retirement and what that might mean for when we could maybe work something out. So that's an ongoing thing that is in process. I'm working with the board on trying to figure that out and whether or not that's going to happen. It's not going to happen overnight, like I said, okay? Another thing I'd like to encourage folks on is related to participation in fellowship activities. We have the men's breakfast. We have Transform Life. We have be staying tuned for some other opportunities that we have coming forward. The teens are trying to have at least one outing a month there. And so just be willing and aware to participate in opportunities for fellowship. I would love to see more men at the men's breakfast. I know it's early on a Saturday morning, but the food's great and you get a lot of it. And, right now it's normally just three of us, myself, Daryl, and Dave Amaral. But, I would love to see more men at the breakfast if possible. Love to see the Transform Life group continue as is and if not, grow a little bit in the new year. We need to be fellowshipping with other believers, whether it's here at church or in the other opportunities that we try to make available. I just want to encourage that as part of one anothering and being the body, okay? Before I get to the next point, I want everybody to turn in your Bible to Titus chapter 2. I want everybody to turn in your Bible to Titus chapter 2. Because there is a point here that I want to talk about specifically, okay? Our church right now is in an interesting crossroads, in my opinion. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. We have, if you look around, we have some saints that have been here from the beginning that are starting to get on in years, that are now have entered into their 70s, et cetera, and are not able to maybe contribute and participate the way that they used to, and are maybe looking to take on a less active role in things like the kitchen. Or things like the build, not that they want to totally just not be involved, but just that they're really looking for some younger women specifically to consider coming on and learning those functions of how the church operates. Okay. Again, when we have a fellowship meal, do you understand that there's just like machinery that like just knows what to do and it just happens and it gets done so that we can all enjoy a fellowship meal, right? The same thing is true with this building. Dave Amaral knows everything about the mechanical functioning of this building, how the boiler works and how the furnace works and all this stuff, right? If something were to happen to Dave, we would literally probably have to spend a year just trying to figure out what Dave knows, and we would be set back massively. And so one of the things that I want to present to the church is an opportunity here for both the women to consider and also for the men to consider, the men considering possibly coming on as a deacon. And we have identified some that we would like to talk to specifically about this. And if you might be approached. I'm not going to say who. I don't want to be specific. I just want to say that we've had a lot of conversations about these things, and we've identified some people that we would like to specifically approach about helping to come on board in this way, to learn about the church in that way, okay? And then the same thing with the kitchen help and that aspect of the ministry, okay? We need to be thinking about these things now so that we're not in a situation a year from now or however long it is where we're really not knowing what to do because we've not trained people within the assembly about how things are done. And I'm thinking in relation to that, to this passage in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. It says, verse 1, but speak thou the things that become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound in speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. I bring that passage up because it talks about the aged women and the young women, and it talks about the aged men and the young men. And what I don't want to see us do is cross a threshold in the assembly where all of the aged saints have gone to be with the Lord and the rest of us aren't sure what's going on. And I think it's an aspect of the ministry that we need to be mindful of here and think about it and give some thought to it. And I would ask that the aged women be open to some younger women coming along and being taught the ropes, if you will, of how you do certain things and how certain things are done in the church. And likewise, the aged men with some of the younger men with respect to the building and how things are functioning. I think it's really something that we need to think about as the ministry moves forward into this year. Okay? We're also looking for, we also want to bring back the Grace Life grill outs. The fellowship activities in the summer where we would all gather around the grill and everybody would grill their own thing and they'd bring a dish to pass. What we're asking for is somebody who might be willing to organize those events this summer. Take maybe one Sunday a month this summer and have a fellowship here at the church with a grill out. We're looking for somebody to possibly consider that. And then this one I've already talked about. I don't know why it's in here twice. I must have intended to talk about it last, but forgot to delete it from the other slide. But it's the same thing that I just mentioned a moment ago. And I also want to give you some reminders regarding our structure and our process regarding board meetings, okay? We're asking, if you would, to submit any proposals for the board's consideration in writing before the meeting, if possible. And our meetings are follow a structure of an open meeting and a closed portion. The open portion of the meeting begins at 9 a.m., the day of a board meeting, and typically runs till 10-ish, sometimes a little less time, sometimes a little more time, depending on what we have to address. And then there's a closed portion from usually 10 to 11, although we've been running late of late. But that's for usage at the board's discretion. So that's the structure that we're using. At the meeting, the monthly financial report is always given. We hear proposals on new business. We discuss where we stand on old business. And then in the closed portion, the board has other things often that it needs to talk about and discuss. So we're trying to follow a very formal structure. This report that Daryl presented is the outcome of a year's worth of reporting that happened at every meeting. And then also, I would just want to ask, if you would, to consider how you might be able to help promote the ministry. Sharing the ministry with your friends and family, inviting your friends and family to church, sharing the website, sharing the live streaming options, sharing the videos from YouTube, just all of the different ways that we can take the message that we're teaching and preaching here at Grace Life Bible Church and make it available to others, and to talk to your friends and family about the gospel of grace and to invite them to church. And so there's a lot of opportunities there for that. And embrace, as I said, the fellowship, the needed fellowship and support of like-minded saints. And the last thing I just want to say is thank you. We need to be grateful. We need to have a lot of thanksgiving for where we are. We have come through some storms as a church in the last year and a half, okay? Times where I wasn't at all sure what might happen and where we were going to end up or what was going to transpire. And we've made it to this point, and the reason we've made it to this point is because of the faithfulness of those of you that are here, those of you that support us online, and we continue to be able to have ministry and to reach people with the gospel, the grace of God, with the issue of the Word of God rightly divided, etc., and those things that will build people up in the faith. So I want to thank everybody that has anything to do with it whatsoever, from the smallest contribution all the way up to the greatest. We would not be able to do what we do without people who are willing to support the ministry financially and support it with your time, your effort, and your support to all the different things that are going on. And so we have a lot to be thankful for as a church. And I hope that you are thankful for those things. I know I am thankful for them. I know my wife is thankful for them. And it's nice to be able to have ministry, to do ministry without having to worry about whether or not certain things are being done, because we have faithful saints that are helping make those things happen. And so there's a lot of gratitude and thanksgiving to go around when it comes to that. As always, we are going to celebrate the anniversary of the church. Following this, there is a cake that is in the fellowship area. And I believe you may have hit the food jackpot today, because I think there is food left over from yesterday's memorial service that will also be put out. So I'm going to close. We'll ask Kurt to come up and close us out with some singing. And then enjoy the fellowship, and have your lunch, have some cake, talk to somebody, meet somebody new, and let's have a great 2022, right? 2022, yeah, that's where we're at? Okay. So, let's pray. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for a ruly and orderly meeting, and for the opportunity that we have to reflect on the year that was, to review where we stand financially, and to talk about the ministry moving forward. We pray for some of the things and the items that we've identified. I pray for this, that we will acknowledge the sort of the transitional nature of where the assembly is at, as one generation is aging and not able to do maybe what they once were, that a younger generation will emerge and be willing to take up the mantle and help and assist, and then be able to move into leadership on some of these things. We just think about life, and we think about the generational nature of life and how that affects a local church. And I just pray that we'll be mindful of all those things, and that we can support one another, be there for one another, and just really practicing one anothering as a local church. We're grateful for those online who watch us, who share the ministry, who support us financially, who help make this happen and a reality here. We're grateful for all those in-house that are part of the local church here, for all that they do for the ministry. And we're grateful for 14 years of ministry, and we look forward with anticipation and excitement for year 15 as we start that now in 2022. So many things to be grateful for. I pray that we would be. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.